All right, tonight we're going to go through a little bit in Hebrews, and we're not going to go much beyond this because there's some serious things you need to meditate on in understanding the pattern of this last day's church, that God has a pattern, a propriety, and an order that He wants to instill, but it cannot be mechanical. The pattern, the order, and the discipline that God wants to speak to the church to is not mechanical. Let me say that again. The pattern and the order and the discipline that God wants to work into the church, the things we do, cannot be mechanical. It's got to be from the heart, or it don't mean anything. It's got to be proceed from the Spirit and be manifested in us. It doesn't start from the flesh. You know, there is nothing. Do these things and God will accept you. This is one thought we all got to get out of our heads. Let me tell you the truth. If you were to sit there and do everything that the Bible says by rote, and what I mean by rote is by this mechanical observance, not only would you be nuts before it was over with, but you wouldn't understand what you were doing and it would be worthless. You know, it tells us that everything we do in 1 Corinthians 13 is motivated, should be motivated through love. Right? Doesn't matter how much tongues you speak in or how much prophecy you have or how much knowledge you have. Without love, it doesn't mean anything. Well, love is the very nature of God. And all of these things operate through love, or they shouldn't be operating. It tells us you can give your body up to be burned for a cause, but without love, it don't mean nothing. You can do all what you think are the right things to do, but if they're not motivated from the heart, if they didn't have their origin in heaven, then they're worthless, because those acts are not righteousness. They're just empty acts. We talked about the nature of the pattern of prophecy, and this is why we went over it. Remember how we talked that all prophetic revelation has its origin with God, not with man. All the things we do are only pictures of things that are spiritual. So if they didn't originate in the Spirit, then they're not worship to God, who is Spirit and truth, are they? God is Spirit, and He seeks those who will worship in spirit and in truth. Isn't that what Jesus told us? So all of your actions as a Christian have to have a heavenly origin, not an earthly one. It's God who will build His church, not you. You're part of what He's building the church with. You're either a rock in the church or you're a tool in His hand. But you ain't the one building nothing. And you got to understand that. This is why our struggle is not to please God according to the flesh. Our struggle is to come to know Him in the Spirit. To submit to Him. So that He can live His life through us. And do what He wants to through us. Yielded vessels. All right, I will build my church. Amen. I will build my church. Not you, I will. That's what Christ is saying. So let's understand that. If it doesn't originate in heaven, then it's of no use. Therefore, now you're not going to understand why we're reading some of this, but we'll get to it. So be patient. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said, so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Well, who is he talking about? If it's not those who heard and rebelled, as it says in verse 16 of chapter 3 in Hebrews. Who's he talking about? They'll never enter my rest. I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest, God says. Who is it except those who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those that Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry with for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear they would never enter his rest, if not those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Now, that's an interesting clue here. Faith. Faith. They didn't enter his rest because they didn't believe. So, when they were looking at the promise of rest, what were they seeing? I want to show you a principle here from the Scripture, and it doesn't change no matter what you apply it to. It doesn't change no matter what you apply it to. So when they were looking for rest, what kind of rest were they looking for if they weren't looking in faith? They were looking for a physical rest, weren't they? But that's not the kind of rest that God was wanting to give. They were looking for a physical rest. And when the people grumbled in the wilderness and they said, "Oh, we don't like this bread from heaven. Give us some bread. Give us some meat. Oh, we want some meat." Were they looking for spiritual meat? Hey, God is spirit. And he seeks those who worship in spirit and in truth. And you know what? That was true even then. You know, the fact that God provided for them physically should have pointed to the fact that God would provide for them spiritually. But they didn't look at that. They were looking for something carnal. When Jesus came, what were they still looking for? Now, they told Jesus this. They said, if we'd have been alive when our fathers stoned the prophets that God sent, we wouldn't have taken part in that. And Jesus said, oh, you admit that they're your fathers. You do have a part in that. And they did exactly what they said they wouldn't do. They rejected Christ, who was sent to them by God. Because what kind of Messiah were they looking for? They were looking for a physical one, weren't they? And Jesus told them, my kingdom's not of this world. Something they could see. Amen. When the people of Israel screamed and said, hey, hold on. Egypt's got a king. Assyria's got a king. They got a king, they got a king, they got a king. All God's children got a king. How come we don't got a king? We want a king. Give us a king. And here's God saying, well, gee, you know, I thought I was your king. Hey, you want a king? I'll give you a king. You ain't going to like it. You ain't going to like him a bit, but I'll give you one. Now you understand why Jesus said it's an evil generation that seeks a sign. Their bodies fell into the desert because they only lived according to the flesh, and that's all they had. It wasn't about faith. To whom did God swear they would never enter his rest, if not those who disobeyed? And his rest is according to the Spirit, just like he is the King, just like Jesus is our Messiah. They never looked at what the physical testified to, the spiritual. They only seen the physical because they never mixed it with faith. Therefore, since the promise of entering into his rest still stands, the true rest, doesn't this make you feel bad for all those Sabbath keepers today? Think about it. For all those who claim that they're of Christ and they've been duped, that keeping the law according to the flesh is the way to please him. When the Israelites were rejected for that very thing, because they didn't mix it with faith. Doesn't it make you feel sad? Those who are proclaiming the Sabbath, have they truly entered into the rest? Let me tell you what rest is, and we'll get to that. Therefore, since the promise of entering in his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said, so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. We have believed. And if the Spirit of Christ is in you, have you not entered into that rest through faith? Because what do we proclaim? We are dead with Christ, aren't we? And if we are dead with Christ, it is no longer us who live, but Christ who lives in us. We proclaim ourselves dead that he may live, right? And if it's him that's living, the resurrected Christ, then we are dead. And if we're dead, we're at rest and at peace. That's God's rest. Is that not how we keep the truth of the Sabbath? By entering now through faith into that rest? Where it's no longer us who work, producing works of the flesh, but God who works through us. Starting to see it? Amen. And yet, when God says, I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest, and yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest. Ooh, so we're not talking about a literal Sabbath day. If it still remains that some will enter that rest, then we're not talking about just a literal physical day, are we? If it is still for some to enter, it still remains that some will enter that rest. And those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as he was said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. So, we have entered that rest now through faith, but when will we actually enter into it? The resurrection of the dead, right? How many of you are with me? Do you understand that? We have entered the rest now, that Sabbath rest, through faith, but when will we actually enter into it? When will it be manifested, that Sabbath day, that Sabbath rest? Isn't that the thousand-year day? The seventh day, the millennium of Christ? Let me tell you something about that day. When God finished his work on the seventh day, on the sixth day, on the seventh he rested. Well, when you completed something, I don't care if you're building a fence. I don't care if you're building an engine. I don't care if you're building a house. When you finish building it, what do? You look at it and you judge it, don't you? Whatever it is you make, whatever it is you build, when you're done building it, you judge it, don't you? Is that true or not true? You stopped your work, and now you judge. Is that true or not true? That's why the day of the Lord is a day of judgment. And it's also a day of rest. And it's rest for those of us who have entered in through faith. And it's judgment for those who find themselves on the wrong end of that judgment. Huh? That don't come up to snuff. You see the point here? But the bigger point I want you to get that applies to what we're talking about tonight is that there was a time you entered into that rest by faith, and then there's a time that it's manifested into the scene. Right? That literal day will be manifested. You will have the resurrection of the dead, where your salvation will be manifested into your body. Right? The salvation now you have by faith will be manifested through the resurrection of the dead. And as you've entered into that rest with God through faith according to the Spirit, you will bodily be in that resurrection and in that day of rest, which is a literal day. So it is manifested from heaven down to earth. True or not true? How many of you with me? This is what we're talking about. The same principle is true. The church, the true temple, is in heaven. The true church of Christ is in heaven. For we are seated in heavenly places with Christ through faith. But it will be manifested here in what we do. Do you understand that? If it's true in one thing, it's true in everything. The kingdom of heaven is invisible. It's manifested into what is visible by God. By God. And if your faith is true where it can't be seen, it will be revealed true in what you do. Same principle, huh? And the fact that you are God's child will be evidenced literally through the resurrection of the dead, won't it? Well, now you've got an understanding. All the healings that Jesus did when he walked as a man, now that you see the principle, all of the healings Jesus did when he walked as a man, the deaf, the blind, the leprous, the demoniac, the lame, all those healings he did were only pictures of something greater coming, weren't they? They were a manifestation of the spiritual into the physical, weren't they? A picture. Because all of those people died, didn't they? Manna from heaven, is that the true bread from heaven? Let me ask you, manna from heaven, is that the true bread from heaven, or is Jesus the true bread from heaven? It's manifested, isn't it? First in figure, and then in reality. Right? So the days that people kept, just like the healings of Jesus, were temporary. The healings of Jesus that he did were only temporary in those people, but they were suggestive of something better, weren't they? Because what it was of heaven being manifested, the lame, those who could not walk with God, It's about relationship, isn't it? The deaf, those who couldn't hear what the Spirit is saying. It's about relationship, isn't it? The blind, those who could not see the kingdom of God. The leprous, those who were unclean in sin. The demoniac, those who were in captivity to the devil. All of those were only pictures of what Jesus came to do for us eternally, huh? And when will those things, when will it be more than those pictures manifested? When will it be more? The resurrection of the dead. That's when somebody will walk and never fall down. That's when somebody will see not only physically but spiritually. That's when somebody will hear everything. That's when there'll be no more leprosy and uncleanness. No more sin. See, all of those healings Jesus did were only pictures of what He came to do eternally, right? So it's the eternal truth being manifested into the scene through what Jesus did. And this is what the church is about. This is what Israel was supposed to be doing with all those days they kept, like the Sabbath. It was supposed to be a picture of something more. But what did they do? They worshipped the picture. They didn't mix it with faith. They kept it by rote, not from the heart. So let me tell you a little bit about what the church is going to look like. These things that we do are all true first in heaven. And they're pictures of what heaven is. They're pictures of what heaven is like. They're pictures of what our true relationship is with God. The communion we do here is a picture of the true communion we have through the true body and blood of Christ. They're pictures. But do you think that the churches today know that? That it's more than that is supposed to originate in heaven and be manifested here? It's not just rules you keep by rote according to the flesh. You see how this principle is true in every one of these subjects we've talked about, whether it be healing, whether it be a day we keep, whether it be a figure we keep, whether it be a sacrifice, whether it be a sacrament. All of these things are pictures of something spiritual, and it's about the spiritual being manifested to here. It's not about us just doing those things and hoping something will happen. It's not about us just doing those things because we keep these figures. It's about an expression of what's truly in your heart with an understanding. Because if you're walking by faith, truly your life is hidden with Christ and you are seated with Him in the heavenly realms. You ain't here. You're walking by faith. And the things you do manifest that truth by the Spirit down here, where it can be seen. And the fullness of that will be manifested to the scene through the resurrection of the dead. And that's the hope of your gospel. We're setting an order here today. See how we've been incorporating these principles? That we've learned about the principles of prophetic revelation, how its origin is always from heaven to man, not the other way around. So when men call the things that we do culture, when men call the things that we do all just your tradition, and that they're changeable because they are culture and tradition, they're not showing any respect for God's pattern, are they? They're not appreciating that this pattern was established from heaven, not by men. And no man can annul it. We must walk according to the pattern of God, but not just walk physically because we see a pattern. It must be manifested as truth from heaven in us. We must walk by the truth of it. You know what happens if you walk by the truth of it? These figures that you keep? Then it's not about a rule. When it becomes necessary, like Jesus talked about, and here's a principle. Sometimes it becomes necessary to dispense with the rule to uphold a greater good. They kept the Sabbath as a rule, not from the heart. But Jesus asked them, if one of you had a lamb fell into a hole on the Sabbath, wouldn't you do what it took to get it out, or would you wait till Monday? Or would you wait till the next day and let it die? You'd get it out then, wouldn't you? For the sake of that loss, you'd break the rule. It's called expedience. They tried to get on Jesus because he worked as a healer. And he healed on the Sabbath. And, ooh, that's work. Shouldn't be doing work. But he was freeing people. What would be greater? Somebody to be freed or him keeping a rule? You know, upholding the law was never about rules, was it? It was always about faith. The truth of God is manifested through faith, not through a mock holiness of keeping rules, not by the appearance of righteousness, but what righteousness is by nature. So when we're talking about the pattern of God, don't think that we're talking about just introducing a bunch of rules and women are going to have to do this and men are going to have to do this and we're going to do everything because that'll please God. Because I tell you, it won't. If it's not worship from the heart. If it's not done with the understanding. If it's done just as a rule, forget it. We walk by revelation that has its origin in heaven. We walk by power that has its origin in heaven. We walk by a Savior who has his origin in heaven. And we walk by a voice that comes from heaven, not from the earth. So God is going to institute this pattern. But it's going to be done according to the Spirit in faith. That's the first thing we have to understand. So when we're talking about women in their place in the church, men in their place in the church, the way we gather together, things about communion and about baptism, these are all things that must be done with understanding. They must be done according to the pattern, but they must have their origin in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Or they're meaningless. Because if it's not of the heart, it's not worship. Is it? So that's the first part we've got to understand of what this church is going to look like. A people who are acting according to faith. Not a people who are acting according to rules. Amen? It's a good place to stop there. Questions or comments?